there was a lot of money, more money than I ever had in my life. And I said, I'm probably going to go buy something illegal and drink a bunch of beer and party.
Flex Lewis here, straight out there. On today's episode, we go behind the scenes with a longtime training partner of the GOAT, eight-time Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman, and the training partner of Arnold Classic winner, Branch Warren. Today's guest is a military veteran, powerlifter, bodybuilder, and outside the world of fitness, is a very successful businessman. We discuss training, preparation, and dive into the stories of training with two of the greatest and strongest bodybuilders ever. Here's a podcast with a man they call Big J. What's up, Big J? Hey. We are live, my friend.
Right on.
Straight out the lair.
Good to be here.
Good to be. It's always great to have you. Whatever I am around, I was going to say, yeah. You know, Heimlich. Great start to the podcast. Yes. Tyus is laughing in the back. Excuse me, my man. Listen, it's great to have you. Every time you and I, whether we're on the road, FitCon, I'm in Metroflex, you've always been that incredible hype guy.
Yes.
Whatever I hear you shouting, let's go!
Intensity, baby.
Oh, man, you really know how to get into that sort of, in that mindset and turn that switch on. I've trained in Metroflex, oh my gosh,
yeah,
so many times.
Yeah.
And many of them times you've periodically walked into the gym. I'm sure you've been texted or something, Flex is there, whatever it is. And you come in and you shout in the parking lot before you even walk into the gym, and there you are. So,
I'm the gaslighter.
My man, it's great to have you here. We are not going to have a chance to train on this time, but we'll make sure of it.
For sure. There's always another
time.
Next,
yeah. But you're in town, you're doing some business, and we were talking yesterday about some stories, and I was like, stop. This is a podcast.
We had to stop talking 50 times
because
they were all great stories. Just conversation.
Just conversation. And these are all from you. I want to recircle on some of them stories today and then pop the cap on some more.
Sure.
The stories that kind of really, I think the fans are going to love is obviously the ones of you training with Ronnie, training with Branch.
Yeah.
And for the fans who don't know who you were, training partner to the greatest of all time, Ronnie Coleman, for how many years?
I met him in 91 and we trained on and off multiple years.
Yeah.
And then the last 4 or 5 years, we've been training pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And the last few months, he's been going back and forth to Mexico and some other places that I haven't gone with him. But yeah, greatest training partner in the world, biggest heart, clearest mind, incredible soul. There's not another person in this world like him.
No, there truly isn't.
Best friend in the world.
Oh, he is honestly, not only is he obviously the greatest in our sport, at these expos too, there's no better representation of the sport.
Yes.
You know, what he does at these expos, and we all know, he's in a lot of pain.
For sure.
He's in a lot of pain. He's putting long, grueling hours in, but yet you never see it.
It's
he's
his
so
work
positive.
Ethic. You'll never see that kind of work ethic from any.
No.
There's a lot of people out there that are really crushing it, but I'm just saying Ronnie was the leading example of the, from the golden era to the next generation to the mass monsters to where we are now. Like, everybody should lead their training and their lives like Big Ron.
Yeah.
He loves his family. He loves God. He loves training. He loves his support channel. And that every single step, every smile, everything that comes out of his mouth is positive. And I've learned so much from him over the last 30 plus years.
And obviously right now he's on his own recovery path, and I think he's tremendously improved himself over the last couple of years. But we know how bad he has been. He's still in not the best of shapes. But I know he's been going to Mexico for stem cells, and he's been doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Have you
he
seen
says he's feeling a lot better too, actually. I just talked to him 2 days ago.
Good.
At the gym, and he's got a bigger smile. That says something. Because you can't get much bigger than that. Eight-time Mr. Olympia smile. It gets bigger than you might as well have another son.
Man, it's unbelievable. I know that you guys train very early in the morning, right? You guys were at one point in time.
From midnight to 5 or 6 in the morning in between there, yeah.
And is that something that you guys have always done? Or has that now come more recently because of the life?
Once you started winning the Olympias is when the different times came about, because you can only imagine. When you train, that there's so many interruptions.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get a picture? And it's hard to explain to super fans, and there are super fans out there, that this is actually not just a hobby. It's his job. That's what he's at work. It's almost like saying to a cop arresting somebody, hey, can I borrow those handcuffs while you're trying to arrest this guy?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Let me finish my job and then we can talk.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. It's disappointing to fans for sure. But once they finally realize, hey, he's just about to push a 200-pound dumbbell, he's getting psyched up, yes, I'll wait. And it's something that your workout partners, obviously, I was training with Ronnie and trying to direct traffic a lot of times. And so we just decided to start training at later hours. That way there's nobody there.
And them later hours. Now, let's go back to prime Ronnie when you were training together. Them early hours, them late nights. Would you still have them super fans then turning up at
no way.
3 in the morning, they're 4 in the morning?
Oh, they're in bed.
You'd have to be a hell of a super fan to get up at that time in the morning, let's be honest.
And there's no cameras, there's no hype squad, and there's always some good gangster rap going.
Yeah, always in the Metroflex.
Yes, sir, but it's funny because there's so much more work that goes on behind the scenes. Even the kids nowadays don't realize that we didn't do this for notoriety, and we didn't do this for pictures on Instagram, and we didn't do this to get popular. We did it because we loved the shit out of it. Excuse me. We just love it.
You swear on this podcast. Don't worry. Okay, we paid some software to Tyus is deleting.
Let me just tell a story. When I started my YouTube channel back in 07 or 08 or whenever it started, my kids were still in high school. And I always pretended like they were right in front of me when I was holding the camera or talking to the camera. So I did the best I could not to swear. But now they're adults in their 30s, and they swear more than I do. I'll try to keep it as professional as possible.
And yeah, coming from a military background as well, that's probably hard with the swearing.
Tough,
because
yeah,
the P's and Q's in the military are not exactly the Queen's English, let's just say, right?
That's correct.
But I want to go back and talk about that Ronnie, prime Ronnie, and you guys turning up every single day. And getting to see, again, we touched on this a little bit yesterday, getting to see this one-off freak of nature that you got to call not only your training partner, but your friend. But
best friend.
Let's be honest, them days, them times you got into Metroflex, whatever time it was, early hours or late evening, you know, friends in that gym. It was just comrades. You were talking, you were all soldiers. You were all pushing one another
for
greatness.
Yes, sir.
And even though you knew that you weren't poised to be Mr. Olympia, you didn't train no different. You
no
led
way.
From the front every time you had them dumbbells in your hands. So
we were both carrying the flag, going full charge forward.
Yeah. Talk about that mindset. Metroflex is known for having these great, incredible champions that come out. Mr. Olympias, Arnold Classic winners, powerlifting champions. Mm. What was it like back in that era? Because I know you had Big J Fitness. You were going back and forth between Metroflex. And I want to talk about your gym later on. But take us back to that mindset of walking into that. Them sessions, them brutal sessions every single day, the recovery and everything else.
Yeah, I think that it goes back probably 3 decades when I was a child to be able to have that mindset, raised on a farm with no electricity or running water and being paid a nickel or less per bale of hay and having my dad tell me to go get somebody to help me. At the end of 3 or 4 days in 100-plus degree temperature, loading bales of hay, you get 10 cents or a dollar or $2. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not going to have somebody help me. I'm going to do it all by myself. So that mentality led forward into tying a belt around the steering wheel and putting it in low and walking beside the trailer and loading the hay by myself.
Damn.
Going into the military and doing road marches. I was in the infantry, so we did a lot of stupid stuff. Road marching for 5, 10, 15, 20 miles at a time with 70 pounds on our back. And it would make me want to go farther when I would hear people complain. Like, okay, I'm going to carry your rucksack, and you sit over there and cry like a little bitch, and I'll carry your, sorry for all the cussing, I did, just keep on going harder. So when I got out of the military, or while I was still in, I started training with Branch and running these guys, and I thought I knew what that intensity was, and I did in a certain aspect, but as far as training, it's different. You can talk to a concrete worker or a bricklayer or a ditch digger and bring him to the gym and smoke him, but he'll smoke you in the ditch. So you have to change gears to a different type of intensity. Mm. But when I started training with Ronnie, I remember, let me back up. Can I tell you when I first met Ronnie? I didn't tell you this yesterday.
I was going to ask.
How it goes. I'm squatting in the back. We're squatting like 550 or 600 pounds, nice and deep. Still in the military. I've got like 20-inch legs because of me being active in the military and running. And I think that being strong was a mindset that I always wanted to have. I always wanted to be the big, strong guy, baling the hay and building the fences and being able to herd cattle. And squatting and deadlifting was my specialty. I loved doing it. So I'm squatting in the back, and there's rap music going on, and there's this big monster. This was before he was Mr. Olympia, but he was still a big monster.
Yeah.
And he kept looking at me with this stinky face, like I smell shit, that big nostril and just...
Yeah.
I can't remember the actor that he looks like when he does that, but he's just looking at me really weird. And I'm like, who is this guy? Why does he keep looking at me like this? I will. You know what I mean?
Because
I didn't know him. And he comes over. He goes, hey, man, how come you're squatting so much weight but got little bitty ass legs? And I started laughing. I looked at him. I said, how come you're so freaking big? And he just laughed. And from then on, it was like game on. He said, take all that weight off and let's do 20 reps with everything.
No.
So I dropped down to 315, and I'd never done 20 reps with anything in my life. And at 12, come on, let's go. You got it. You can do it. And so I hear that voice in my head forever since then.
Yeah, you were saying yesterday, it's still in your head. Right?
Always in my head. I don't care what I'm doing. If I'm trying to screw a screwdriver with an into the wood and my forearms are too tight and I've got one more twist, don't stop. You got it. One more twist.
I just love it.
He's always in my head, man. And it's been something that I transferred from hauling hay to road marching to just working out and being the best. It's something else I want to add. After we got into our 50s, everything obviously starts slowing down. The weaknesses and the joints and the pains and the injuries. In the last 5 or 6 years, he got in my head again. He goes, how come you train so light? I just did the 120s for 30 reps. Hey, you can do more than that. Just, God dang, Ronnie, really, that's a lot of weight for somebody half my age. Now you can do better. And so, of course, I'm doing the 150s and the 160s for 15 to 20 reps because Ronnie's in my head.
Wow.
Thank God for Ronnie Coleman. And that makes me continue to pull and push and squat and curl. And this is just side gigs. You know what I mean? This is not what I do for a living. I just love it so much.
Yeah, because, again, you're a businessman, entrepreneur, yes, outside of the gym.
Yes, sir.
So there's this... a true switching of hats every time you walk into Metroflex or whatever gym you're going into.
Not only daily, but hourly. Construction and property management and ownership and everything else that I'm involved in.
Since we popped out the chair, tell us what you do on a day-to-day in outside of the gym.
Wake up about 3 or 4 in the morning, take a bunch of emails and figure out which one's the most important as far as like repair orders for properties. We get that all lined out. Eat breakfast at 4 or 5, do some cardio, and then about 9 or 10, start prepping, have a big meal, and go to the gym. You know, because that's what I'm training now, like 10 to 11 a.m. now.
Damn.
And that's when Ronnie's training now, too.
Yeah. So. Oh, Ronnie's back on the normal human time?
Yeah. He still stays up late like I do. But then I train, and I do my errands from 9 a.m. to 3 or 4 p.m., and I get back on a computer and figure out what construction we have going on, or if anybody needs something for the rental properties, or whatever else I might be involved in. And then... go to bed about midnight, 11 o'clock, get 3 or 4 hours of sleep, start over.
As the training with that intensity with Ronnie, Branch, and other power lifters and the various different top-level athletes over the years, has that aided your business in any way, shape, or form, having that sort of that blow-off of steam or maybe the goals that are associated and connected with your powerlifting and the bodybuilding?
I would venture to say probably not.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really think that me wanting to be the strongest old fat guy in the world has anything to do with me being a very successful businessman. People say it does, but I was born poor. I grew up with no electricity, no water. I told myself I'd never be poor again. Mm. I had a platoon sergeant that made me buy a property when I was 18 years old, guaranteed me I'd be a millionaire before I was 21, and I was. And so I've been doing that ever since. So I put that towards the military.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dedication there. When I was a kid, it's a love-hate. Like, I'll haul this hay so I can be done because I hate being on a farm. And my mom and dad divorced. And then I was so happy that we got to move to the city. Guess who she remarried? Another farmer.
Oh, my God.
And then
back at it.
Yeah, and so I spent 10 years in the military and 20 years in government service as a private contractor. And when I got out a couple years ago, guess what I'm doing now? I'm a farmer.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I love riding the tractor and being out on the field and the solitude of not having a cell phone, not having anybody contact me. I'm still on a tractor hours every couple of days, and I love it.
Yeah.
I like being by myself.
Texas is your main residence, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What part of Texas?
I'm about 45 miles southeast of Arlington, where Metroflex is.
Oh, so you do that drive every day?
About 3 days a week.
Wow.
And you see me training in a warehouse that's at my house. So I had my gym, Big J's Extreme Fitness, for almost 30. I would make the drive from my gym to Arlington 9 times out of 10. And Ronnie and Branch, everybody else would come and train at my gym every now and then. And so we traded off back and forth. Of course, I was going to them more often.
Yeah.
Because I was just a guy working out with everybody. I was nobody.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed it. And I still make that drive. But when I closed my gym down, here's a story. When I closed my gym down, Ronnie and I were on the bike at 2 a.m. And I paid my lease in the building that I was in a year up front every year.
Wow.
And so it was like the 8th or the 10th of January. And a guy calls me at 2 a.m., hey, man, you're late. We're going to have to assess a late fee. And I said, hold on. I pay my rent every year up front. Ronnie said, fuck that dude. Close that gym.
No, he didn't. Did he?
And I had just retired from the government. I said, you know what? Big Ron said, fuck you. I'm closing. So I went to my gym and unloaded all the equipment up in an 18-wheeler and took it all to my house. And now I work out at my house.
Wait, I've been to a gym. I don't know if you know that.
You have?
Yeah.
Big J's gym?
Yeah.
Big J's Extreme Fitness?
Yeah, I'll tell you my story. No, in fact, okay. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, no, here we go.
So that was a great gym. It was a lot of powerlifters that came from it. John used to train there.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, my friend was lifting at the Europa Pro Show.
Okay.
And Johnny was doing a show too.
Oh, I remember now.
And me and there was two Welsh guys backstage that Brian told me the story after the fact. But it was one lifter in particular that impressed so many people because he didn't look like he could lift what he lifted. And I call him one of my good friends. I call him a Spice Boy. And back then, with the hair and everything else, he had a fucking fake tan on. Yeah. And we were back there. And in the Europa show, he was divided into two lifts. There was a lighter bar. Mm-hmm. And then some people warmed up on that bar. And then it was for the big boys.
The lifts, yeah.
Supers, the heavies. And they were lifting on the secondary bar, which was more weight.
Sure.
So my boy done a couple of lifts over there. And he was standing in front of the secondary bar, the heavier bar. And all the guys, the super heavyweights, going, kid. Whatever they say. Yeah. Hey, man, it's too heavy for you.
Yeah.
Man. That's my American accent.
That was pretty good.
All right, okay. He's looking around for reassurance. He's like, it's my podcast, okay? And there's things like AI that I can overdub my mouth with.
Okay.
But yeah, so this incredible athlete friend of mine lifted it up. His name's Chris Jenkins. He lifted it up this bar and everybody in this room. To this day, I just remember everybody in this room, there was like this gasp. And then Brian Dobson came along and he was like, holy shit, Brian. He's such a good guy. This motherfucker. He's rolled backstage. And of course, that was such a boost of confidence. But the reason why, and he ended up winning. But the reason why I mentioned that, we actually done the weight cut to Big J's.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you have a sauna there? Do you have a sauna there or something? Or did you have the weigh-ins every year at your gym?
I was the weigh-in guy.
You were the weigh-in guy, yeah. So we used your gym for the weight cut.
That's badass.
Yeah. So I went there and you had a lot of cardio pieces there and stuff like that. I remember it. But anyway, my point is that you and I never met each other then, but years later I found out the connection between you and the gym, and you've done and always have done, given back to the fitness community.
Oh,
you always have.
Yeah.
And that's how you and I met, was through... Not just you were training with Branch and Ronnie and stuff like that. Obviously, I knew that after the fact. But it was your events that you were putting on.
Yeah.
And these community get-togethers. And then it ended up becoming what everybody knows as FitCon.
Yes, sir.
But you were the pioneer of that.
Yes, I started it back in the 90s. Behind my gym, I'd buy a bunch of barbecue and beer, and we'd throw a bench press back there. And it was Big J's bench press barbecue event.
Wow.
And there would be 5 people 1 year, then 20 people the next year, and then 300. And then we had a lot of people. We'd have strongman events and powerlifting. And it was just in the back of the gym, little rinky-dink gym.
That's amazing.
And then I let somebody talk me into having it at a venue.
Yeah.
And it was always something that I wanted to do for everybody. I never charged anybody.
Wow.
And then at the venue, they said, how many vendors are you going to have and what are they paying you? And I said, what do you mean paying me? Everybody's coming out and having fun and I'm throwing a barbecue fest and there's going to be a lot of cold beer out back. Oh, no, you can't do that. Why not? It's my event.
Yeah.
And always those events were always something that I wanted to get people together for free.
Yeah,
you know, I hate charging people to do anything to have fun. Mm. Of course, you have to pay people to come and talk and that and whatnot. But it was always a really good idea, and it did phenomenal. And now I look at it, it's blossomed all over the world. People love it.
Yeah, so. It's truly turned into what it is now. As you said, people coming in from all over the world, all over the country, at worst. You know, that's now an event that is on the lisp, fucking hell. Lips.
That's your American accent.
That's I can get away with it. But there's a lot of athletes, a lot of fans know that mark their calendars every single year to go to the Utah one. They've got one in Florida and the Texas one, right?
Yep. Which, and then we had one in California. There was one in Australia. There was one in England. There's one in South America. But the COVID kicked it all out.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, and we had them all over the place.
Wow. But anyway, you've truly grown a community around you, and obviously when it comes down to the nitty-gritty and the work, you have got stories, and many of them which obviously all the viewers that are watching this all would love to hear. I know we started talking about the mindset of Metroflex back in the day and the mentality of turning up. Give me a couple of these stories of some heinous training sessions between you and Ronnie.
Oh, my God. It started with Branch.
Really?
That fucker always tried to kill me when we first met training. I trained with him from mid-90s to early 2000s.
Yeah.
And he would help me along with some of the other people with my nutrition and whatnot. And I would just do as they did. And it was a lot different from the training that I was doing in the military. And of course, Ryan and I would train different too. Branch's style. It's insanity.
It's mad.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like a t-shirt.
Yeah. Intensity for sure. And so after I managed to get through about a month and a half or two, we talked about Jay Moore. He was one of our workout partners. Mark Hanlon, rest in peace. Brian even trained with us a lot. And I feel like, you know, that, like you said, the soldier mentality of driving forward and stop following and just be at the forefront with each other. I thought, okay, you didn't kill me, and now it's time for me to kill you, because I've caught up to this intensity, and now I want to take it a step further. And along with being a bodybuilder, and I wasn't great. I won a lot of shows, and I had fun, and I trained with the greatest, but I also like being stronger than everybody. And so that's what I always cued on, and I wrote a lot of my own programs. I talked to Louis Simmons quite a bit, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
I talked to Dave Tate and a lot of other phenomenal powerlifters and strongmen, and I think that, like I said before, I'd much rather be strong and functional than a pretty boy with a great physique. Because we talked yesterday about how miserable we are looking great. Fuck that.
Yeah,
let me eat a hamburger and pick up 1,000 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Instead of eating a rice cake with jelly on it and a dry-ass chicken breast and barely be able to push the 35-pound dumbbells.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not knocking what we did. I loved it. I did. But I got the t-shirt. I own property there. It's time to move on. Plant a tree and call it a day.
Yeah, but when you planted the tree, let's talk about damn times. I love that era, that Metroflex, grindy, hardcore, intense. You mentioned the Branch Warren's training style. I've trained with Branch all around the world.
For sure.
Been to Metroflex many times and had my ass handed to me.
For sure.
Much as you say, okay, now it's my turn. I don't think there's enough you could do to Branch when I've trained him that gets the, oh my God, you fucked me up, because now we've pissed him off even more.
Oh, he'd never admit it.
Oh,
never admit it. And it's not that you did. It was just like, it was one of those, and you could see Branch's expressions. You know, during the workout, it was fuck you. At the end of the workout, it was we wind down. And at the end of it, you get this bro fist bump, and then good job, you know, that little nod of appreciation and
lack of words.
We really demolished it. I think the bottom line to Metroflex in the 80s and 90s, when we were really crushing it, and even into the early 2000s when Ronnie was king, still king, of course, but when he was reigning champion, was the group participation at Metroflex Gym. There's not a gym that I've ever been to that, if I'm over there getting ready to pull a 700 or squat 650 or bench 500, that people would join in. Let's go, Big J. Come on, you got this.
Yeah.
Come on, Big Ron, let's go. And there's no selfishness whatsoever. And if you were selfish, you just didn't fit in and you would be weeded out. You know what I mean? Not by us, but by the lack of, I don't feel the camaraderie because you're not participating. It's a family. And you probably have the family here. I've not trained here yet, but I know for a fact that if Brian sitting up front and something else, whoever was training, our favorite music got played immediately. That's what I love about Brian. I pull up and AC/DC is immediately thrown on the
Your walk-in song.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, the AC/DC comes on, and then if it changes and he hears me yelling, he'll crank it back up to AC/DC and come back to, hell yeah, let's go. Come on, you got this shit.
Who's mourning in Metroflex? Somebody is literally saying, Brian,
the
song selection, please. Yeah.
There's a couple of those, too.
Are you serious?
Oh, man. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Could you please put on
some Backstreet Boys?
Oh, no. There's no way. Brian wouldn't allow it. There's no way. There's no way.
Back to the camaraderie. There's so many people that get behind every single intense lift.
That's amazing.
And that's what continues to mold that Metroflex mentality. And people that come from all over the world to train there, they feel it. And people that just moved there that try it out, they're just like, wow, I've accomplished so many goals in 1 month. I can't wait to continue because you guys motivate me. And it's something that's instilled in you. There's no way you can change that. I go to Planet Fitness. I've been to Planet Fitness 3 times. I've been kicked out every single time. first, before I even walk in, no, sir, Big J, I'm sorry, you can't train here. I'm just going to do some curls. No, we know. You got to go.
With his intensity yeah. shirt on.
With, you know, the caffeine raising yeah. my eyes. And
I'm behaved yeah. today.
Take the leash off.
Yeah.
But I can't get a good workout in unless the majority of the people and the owner especially has that mentality. Okay, fuck it up, man. Go yeah. yell and scream and slap and pull and do what you got to do, because they know what it takes to be a champion. And whether you're a champion on stage or a champion, you know, at your house or a champion in your own mind, it's all about that mentality.
What have you seen being lifted on them days where you've been lifting on the other side of the gym? You look up and you talk about the camaraderie, and you look across and somebody's lifting some ungodly amount of weight. What kind of lifts did you see in the prime of Metroflex being lifted? And was it by anybody we all know?
Ronnie with those 200s, 12 reps, like it was like the hundreds, just blew me away. And I'm just like, I can do that too. No, I did eight.
And eight, I think 200s, man.
Yeah, I think they were like half reps. You get a little like you're having sex with the air and the bench itself. But I still did eight. Yeah. But Ronnie's lifts were amazing. I saw him pull the 800 for a couple, squat the 800 for a couple, leg press the 2300 for eight. I've been to all those lifts, and they always made me, instead of, oh, my God, that's amazing, I can do that. As long as you don't count yourself out.
Yeah.
If you want to exceed. And there's room for everybody. We have housewives. We have, what do you call the IT guys? We have every type and walk of life. But when they come in, man, they hang that hat up.
It's a mentality thing.
Yeah, it is a mentality thing. They hang the hat up.
Just like you. Just 30 minutes before, you're talking to a CEO of a building corporation or whatever, and you're doing a deal. You walk in, Brian puts the AC/DC on, you're Big J.
That's it.
You're known as Jay, whatever it is, to somebody else. The last name and yes sir, no sir, but then when you're walking in, it's, the respect comes from turning up, putting the hat back to front. And
that, and then putting in the work.
Putting in the work, of course, yeah, of course. To, you know, respect is earned, because I know.
Earn it.
I remember Branch asking me, we're training tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, we are.
Yeah. I was like, okay. That was like, hey, you know, think of somebody who you've always wanted to train with. And yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of people you have trained with. But it was like that, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? You free? Let's train. And you're like, oh, cool. Yes. I got told.
Yes.
And then I processed it. I was like, oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. But it was not like this moment of a Branch being like, do you want to train? That'd be really cool. One day or whatever. It was just like, training tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think we were in FIBO or something. And obviously, you've got your Branch, so I got many of mine too. But I've always had a lot of fun training with Branch. A lot of fun traveling and training with Branch too.
Yeah.
Two different animals.
For sure. He's a family man. Loves his family. Loves people. It's just he's got the switch too.
Yeah. The switch.
To be at that level,
yeah.
to where we've all been
yeah.
or are, there has to be a switch. You can't take that home.
No.
Hey, honey, where the fuck is my breakfast? I need it now.
I think Trish would kick his ass.
Yes, she would.
She fucking would. I think, you're talking about a switch. And I think it's very important to hear these things being talked about, because I've talked about many different things. And for all the fans that are watching, remember I would talk about driving to the gym in Boca Raton. And I would be there at 11 o'clock, 11:30 to 12. I would meet my training partners. Sorry. At 11:30, the training partner should have arrived. That was the part of the deal.
Sure.
11:30 to 12, we can talk about whatever you want. At 12, we start talking. We don't talk about whatever the fuck we talk about.
That's right, yeah.
It was all kind of grunts and groans and fuck yous and
soldier
don't take it personal.
Yeah.
If I tell him you've got another two reps, you come out there and you haven't done it, you'd be like, what the fuck was that about? Don't take it personal. Get pissed off.
A little loss of respect there, too, if you don't continue.
That's true. I can't be around a my back hurts today. Yeah. Oh, do you want me to sing the song to you? Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Pick your poison. I'm fucking aching all over the point.
That's right.
All over the place. But with that said, like you said, it's the approval of turning up, getting the stripes. But again, you've got a mixture of different people in that gym, as do I in this gym. But if we got somebody that's doing something special, that's lifting a lot. We had one of the world's strongest men, Evan Singleton.
Yeah.
How many reps did he pull in that deadlift?
Eight or something.
Yeah, and he was like, was it 800 and something pounds? And he just repped them out. He had a lot more in the tank. That was a PB for him. But the whole gym shut down, turned. And we're clapping, filming.
That's right.
They love it.
Yeah,
I encourage that.
Yeah, you have to.
It's a culture. We're not going to go up to you like Planet Fitness and say, excuse me, sir. can you place the dumbbells down quietly? Can you deadlift a little quieter? You're scaring off our patrons, but that's not the gym. We're not that gym. I'm very against the cancel culture bullshit. And when I look at Metroflex, and we're talking about the switch, going back to that, everybody in that gym had that switch, had that it.
Yes.
And I know when Branch would turn it on, because I've stayed and I've trained and I've hunted with Branch. We've gone out all our hours and we've still turned up for training at that time, is set in stone time, even though we were out hunting all night. We came home, slept 2 hours, got up, we started driving to the gym, silence, music playing.
Yeah.
He puts his music on, and when you're around somebody and they're processing, it's just like that fire, that low boil.
Yeah, the eyes turn different colors.
Yeah, and you get into the gym and he starts getting going. The leg is going when you're getting closer.
Breathing.
Yeah, and then you just, we walk into the gym and it's, so I would meet that Branch at Metroflex coming out of his car normally. But I got to experience that process of getting breakfast in him, talking about the hunt last night. Switch goes on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, because there's no way that you can talk about the hunting or the family or the kid's soccer game or the steak that you cooked while you're about to press the 160s for 10, 12, 14 reps. You have to turn that switch on. And to me, it's a darkness that I get into. We talked about the dark place when I was with Dave Tate. And it's almost more of a, I don't know, it's a gift, but it's also a sickness. And if you can compartmentalize that and break only when needed, you can be successful in all facets of life. And again, it does carry over into my businesses, but I'm not going to walk up to somebody, how the fuck are you doing? I'm Big J, you cocksucker. I want you to sign this contract. And sign it hard with your pen. Cross the T hard.
They're arresting me for being a manicure.
As long as you say please and thank you.
So it carries over, but again, you have to turn it down. The little dim switch on the old 70s houses. You can turn it up or down.
The big one.
Yeah, that's right.
But what is something that you would start the mental preparation on, and when does it start for you? Obviously, you're training with the Branch, the Ronnie, and Jay Moores, and all these guys who are known for throwing around a lot of weight around and being intense.
Literally so, throwing around the weight. You train with Jay, right? Yes. If you don't move out of the way, you're going to hit with a barbell and a 45 on it.
And they'll say sorry after the session's done, because in their zone.
You should have got out of the way, man. That's my impersonation of Jay.
Shout out to Jay, by the way, whatever you're hiding. Miss you, my bro. Yeah. But what does the mental preparation look like for you? When does it start?
Just in the morning. I'm not going to think about it going to sleep because I'm all fired up then.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Unless it's like, you know, when I went up to Ohio to squat the 845, I actually only went to hopefully squat 800. That environment was just like the Metroflex. Everybody was a world champion powerlifters were there and stopped and filmed and slapped and yelled and cheered me on. So I prepared for that for a few months.
That was Elite FTS.
Yes, Elite FTS.
Shout out to them guys.
Yeah, Dave, you're amazing. Dude. Yeah. Thank you so much for your love. But a daily workout, it starts first thing in the morning. You wake up, and I swear, I've got a board like yours, a dry erase, and then I've got a notepad. I'm old school. I like to write everything down. I've also got my cell phone, then I've got my notes. And the very first thing before I turn my computer on or look at my phone or watch the news or even get my coffee is I think about my lift. I swear, I put my hand in a stack of Bibles. I think about my lift. Today is chest, and I'm doing dumbbells today, and I'm going to do for my max lift to be this. And I get that in my mind. And so I'm literally thinking about my lift while I'm doing my emails.
To this day. And it's something you've always done?
Always. No, I'm lying.
Okay.
Only probably once I really got serious in the mid-90s with Branch and Ronnie. I didn't do it when I was a kid. For a long time, So I wake up and I think about it, especially on a PR day. You can't just make phone calls and talk to people and drive to the gym and listen to the news or whatever. If you're going for a PR and then walk in and go, okay, well, I got to get ready for this PR. It's got to be first thing in the morning. You stirring the freaking peanut butter into oatmeal. It's fucking 800 pounds to be. I got to be there because more of my lifts are now not pretty. They're all about power. And I love being able to be at 275, 280 with visible abs. I'm not saying I have a six pack.
You're fucking lean.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. Thank you. I'm not where I would love to be, but it's not where I want to be. You don't have to be. I'm sorry. I'm not where I want to be, but I don't have to be there. Yeah. I'm still healthy, get my blood work done, everything squared away. But I like being the strong guy. It's more important to me. Because, you know, the dieting and all that, the preparation, it's to me, it's blasphemous as a country boy. Why in the world am I eating a plain chicken breast? I need some cheese and some barbecue sauce and some smoke.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we all know Texas does it right.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my gosh.
The Cuban cigar and the rum and coke. Yeah, the music, Led Zeppelin in the background, AC/DC. Good stuff, man. I was talking to the producer earlier this morning, and he was asking me some of the same questions we talked about, but he did talk about how not necessarily becoming successful, but what kind of has driven some things. And two things. First off, family. I love my kids and my family with all my heart, my grandkids, everybody involved in my family. I love them with all my heart. That makes me feel like a better person, as well as loving myself, because I'm not trying to impress anybody. And the most important part, I freaking forgot what I was going to say. I know the family, but...
Two things.
I used to be an asshole. That's what it was. I'm a recovered asshole.
Oh.
I'm an alcoholic.
You're so good at forgetting about it.
I'm so good at forgetting.
You forgot about it. Fuck me.
So
you really have turned a new leaf, Jay.
I'm not a recovered alcoholic because I still like alcohol, but I am a recovered asshole because I used to be. Being in the military and getting spit in the face and kicked in the balls and beat on from behind from people that you're trying to calm down and have a nice day, it makes you callous towards society, even your family. And I ran close family members away multiple times. I got a 6-year-old grandson now and a 11-month-old grandbaby, and my kids are in their 30s, and I've continued the process of becoming a non-asshole person. And guess what? Everything in the world is so much better.
Really?
So much better. We talked about this yesterday. It's only money. I like having a lot of money, but I don't spend a lot of money. I just enjoy making it. It's a challenge. But the most important part is that legacy, those children, and your feelings, and your heart, and your spirit. I will say I believe in God and I love God. And that's the bottom line. That's the base of all.
I'm just...
I didn't mean to get religious.
No. I was soaking in what you said because I'm a very...
Still an asshole sometimes.
You speak to my wife. Oh, you're talking about you? Oh, shit. We'll edit that part out of me. No, I'm a very... I love stories of mindset. And you just went from flicking a switch on so many different things. So you mentioned the military and what was installed of you in the military. And then that transition from military life into civil life. How long were you in the military for?
10 years.
10 years. Yeah. That is a lot of brain training.
Yes, sir. I've 20 more with the government as a contractor.
Yeah.
Private contractor, worked with the U.S. Marshal Division, Border Patrol.
Oh, you were Border Patrol too?
Yeah, worked with the Border Patrol.
Oh, with Border Patrol. Yeah. I bet living in Texas too, you probably see a lot of stuff, being so close to the border too, you see a lot of drugs and a lot of different storylines. What is...
Terrible things.
What is probably being the hardest thing for you living your life now? Is it anything in particular from military days, working on...
Going overseas and doing what we had to do and not knowing the truth behind it all.
Yeah.
During the fact and after the fact, you kind of start figuring out what the motive was.
Yeah.
It's hard to swallow.
Yeah.
It's a hard pill to swallow. I did what I was told to do. I'm very proud that I did it.
Yeah.
But beyond that, in the private sector, it's just so hard to see some of the things that they're doing.
Doing.
Yeah. And I don't even want to get into details.
No.
I'll start crying. I get a lump in my throat now. People are bad. There's very bad people in this world. And I pray that they finally figure out that's wrong. Seriously, I can't even talk about it. But I really feel that I did the best I could while I was doing it.
Yeah.
And just continuing to raise my family the way I feel the best. And we're all very happy.
Yeah, so, you know.
Nobody's not happy.
Yeah, with working in the military for 10 years, then you were working in... What was the job after the military you came in?
I worked with several private contractors. Private contractors.
Yeah.
I won't mention any names.
No, but I'm saying is, you mentioned, I'm doing the timeline here. So you've done military, then you've done private contracting. Obviously your skills, and that's what you were drawn in with contracts. The business element, was that something you'd done while you were in the military during the contract days, or was that?
Great story. We talked about that earlier outside. We had received some extra pay. We had hazardous duty pay, jump pay, and I received a bonus.
Yeah.
And so my platoon sergeant was handing out checks to everybody, and he was asking us what we were going to do with our money. And one guy was like, oh, I'm going to give it to my mom, and hopefully she can get another loaf of bread for the family. And I'm just like... Weak. And then somebody else said, oh, I think I'm going to start a savings account. I was weak. And I had, there was a lot of money, more money than I ever had in my life. And I said, I'm probably going to go buy something illegal and drink a bunch of beer and party. And he said, no, sir, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. And he walked away with my money. And I was like, oh, what? Well, I need my money. So I called my dad. I said, hey, he's got a considerable amount of money. What do you think I should do? He said, just tell him what he wants to hear. And that's exactly what I did. Okay, you tell me what you want me to do with this money. Mm. He said, good answer. Let's go and we'll look at properties. I said, properties? I'm 18 years old.
18?
Yeah.
What a great guy there.
Yeah. This guy was a Texan. Yeah. He was also part of some of the units that I was attached with. Yeah. We went to combat together. We served together. And he just liked me. It's a good friendship. So we went to the library, pulled out the microfiche, and started looking around for properties to purchase. And from then on, it was sky's the limit.
So you started compounding all these stuff whilst you're in the service?
Yeah, I was making $350 a month while I was in the service, making $1 million a year on the other side of property management. Wow. And I served my country because I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Now, there's a part of my life now that I venture into little small businesses trying to make their way, and I'll do the best I can to contribute information and help.
Yeah.
But there's only so much that I can do as the picture is so much bigger in my personal life.
Yeah.
So I've dabbled with a lot of companies, you know, over the past 40 plus years of being an athlete and a bodybuilder.
That's one of the things I admire about you is the fact that you got the business element down packed. We all know you as Big J. But then when I got to find out about that element, again, not to judge the book by the cover, but there's not many people who have...
And I don't read books, by the way.
There's not a lot of
I can't read.
Yeah. Well, don't say that. No, otherwise contracts are going to start coming in front of you.
Like never mind. I can't read.
Exactly.
I don't like to read.
Yeah. But again, with this sport, I think that's when they asked you if there was lessons learned. Because for me, there was lessons learned. It taught me to be a better ex. The commitment to the process and the end result being a show. Same thing with business. You put a plan together. You stick to the plan. You go through the process. Through ups and downs, you still turn up for that show.
Yeah, for sure. And you can't 9-to-5 anything. That's my biggest thing that I've got to say to anybody that I've ever worked with or for or against. You cannot have banker's hours and own a business.
No, you
can't shut yourself off. No. My phone is on 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's why I only sleep 3 hours a day, because I am on call.
3 hours a day, huh?
I usually go to bed at midnight and wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Jeez.
Ask anybody that knows me.
How you function, man?
I've never really needed sleep. I think because my dad always woke me up early in the morning.
And military too, probably, right?
And military, of course. Because you had to drink your beer and party all night. Then you still had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for PT.
Yeah.
And I had to have both.
Yeah. I was talking, not to change the dynamics here, but we were talking yesterday, just reminding me about something, about a big lift you done. Big deadlift.
Yeah.
And this is only possible through the conversation you had with Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that story because this was very recently.
Yeah, it's actually less than 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And so I, of course, we talk very regularly, and it's stupid stuff, and it's good stuff, and it's encouraging stuff. And then I don't even know. Sometimes it's just, hey, man, what are you doing? Yeah. Oh, nothing. What are you doing? Oh, nothing.
Real friendship.
Yeah. Just
that's what it is.
Yeah. And so I had pulled 900 pounds, and he was like, oh, that's pretty good. You got more. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm almost 60. What do you mean I got more? That's more than kids half my age are doing. He goes, yeah, you got 1,000. And so right then and there, I decided I'm pulling 1,000 for Big Ron.
Down on that.
For that whatever switch he clicked. And instead of me going, listen, Ron, come on now, buddy.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, motherfucker, I'll pull 1,000. And literally, I trained for 3 months. And then the morning I woke up, I knew that was that day, and I warmed up for 3 hours. I'm doing the foam rolling on the back, and I do 5 minutes of elliptical, go out and pull 225 for a few reps, go back inside, do the recumbent. I swear it took me 3 hours.
3 hours.
There's no cameras. I recorded it with my phone,
but
there's no cameras. There's no hype squad. There's no music. It's me out in my awning where I park my cars and all my gym equipment is, and there's cows shitting behind me, and there's cars driving by honking, look at this crazy fucker. Yeah, that's me. And so I get up to 800, and I pull it like 3 times. I'm thinking, Jesus, this is light. I'm pulling 1,000 today. So I call Ronnie. Hey, what you doing? What you doing? You training today? And I said, yeah, man, I pulled 1,000 pounds. He goes, oh, hell yeah, that's good. Congratulations. Click. Fuck, now I've got to pull it. Because I told him I did. Send me the video. Bye. So, God dang. And so I got up to the 9, and it was heavy, and I thought, I'm going all out. And there's so much. There's this much space at the end. And for some reason, it didn't match 1,000. It was 1,005. And so I strapped up, man. I got fucking hyped like a mother, man. I use a little 1x4 or my lifting straps. I slapped the shit out of myself several times for big lifts like that.
Of course.
Time. And so the neighbors, I mean, we all have 10 to 15 acres apiece. So there's a big space in between us. The neighbors are a football field away, and they hear, let's go, motherfucker. And I'm slapping myself with a board. And they're all just staring at me, just like giving me this nod, like, are we going to have to call the crazy house?
Then it goes
today?
Again. That big J.
Yeah,
he's crazy.
Exactly.
Just wave, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Don't look at him.
Yeah, no eye contact.
Don't look at him. And so I pulled it and I recorded it and I said, here's your video. And he goes, I knew you could do it. Good job. And that's it. That's all you're going to get from the greatest bodybuilder in the world. You're not going to get, oh my God, that's great. Because he's great. You know what I mean? But that's all I need from him.
Oh, that is me. How? Oh my God! Look, that actually that is my alarm because I've got a
time to go. Folks.
I got a. So the fans can know this was a very improv podcast because we were talking yesterday. Just remind everybody. So we went and put this together. This today is not podcast day, but it is a podcast day when you're with Jay.
Man,
Big Jay.
It's so appreciated. Yeah. Lots of love, and I know that we could talk for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I just want the people watching this to know. There's so much more behind Flex Lewis that you don't know. Such a big heart, such a loving person, a family man, a businessman. And the layers that I could just talk about will put tears in my eyes. Just I appreciate the love and the support and the friendship that you've given. The greatest 212 bodybuilder of all time. I got a lot of love and a lot of support for you, my friend.
Appreciate
you will that. Always be one of my top friends
Thank
in
you.
The world.
I appreciate that, and I feel it every time I'm around you, my friend. You always. I wish I had Big J in my camp when I was lifting some of these big lifts. There's nobody more hype. Actually, we just not to prolong too much longer, but we did speak when you hit me up and I said I was going to do the open class, and there was not many people I told at that point in time. Yeah. And you were like, "Let's fucking go, bro!
Let's fucking go!
Yeah. I can win it." Yeah. You give me some really good words of confidence, and then knowing what. The pedigree that you have, who you've been around to hear that. And then also you heard it from Ronnie, from his mouth when we were on the road. He was like, why did you take off 2019? You could have done it.
Yeah.
But I won it. And I was like, big Ron, I'm going to go. I'm going to give it my all. And I did.
Yeah.
I did. And I know we spoke yesterday, but we were talking about appetites because you have one hell of an appetite.
Yes.
I do not. And I wish I had that little extra appetite because we could have been, who knows, but... I think that's life.
It's life.
The woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah.
I think what you didn't or wasn't able to achieve in this chapter shouldn't be that conversation that comes up at every party. Oh, I could have been, We all know them people. I think what life is all about is
it's a trying, seed to carry forward.
Failing.
Yeah.
Pulling your pants back and be like, okay, but I know I done everything in my power.
Yeah.
And there's certain things you can say, bro, you did not do everything. But also when you're around people who... you know will give everything, and you know me, I give everything for it. And in the end, it was like, you know what? It was God telling me, because I'd done it. I was like, at first I thought it was a test, and then I realized, that this is the answer to move on now. And since making that decision, obviously there's a lot of cool things that have opened up. I've got more time to commit myself to doing cool things like this and talking to my friends who have paved the path for my generation, and then have laid the bricks of intensity and training for the others. But listen, mate, one thing that you were able to live was a life that will never, ever be duplicated. You threw around weights around with no cameras. You threw around weights with intensity, not because of social media. Right now, there's a purpose for people to train like that.
Yeah.
And they're not training like that when the cameras are not on them.
No, they're not.
That's the thing. Because you've done it in Metroflex, Branch, the Ronnies, and all these guys we've mentioned today for the reason of being better and bringing the best version of other people out.
Yeah, for the love of it.
For the love of it.
Yes, sir.
Because there was no financial connection to you. It was just, I turn up because my job that I don't get paid for is to be the best training partner to these guys. And their job is to be the best training partners to me. And in that... destiny of story, we're all learning what we can do in life too, and there's lots of lessons I'm sure you've learned that the gym has taught you whilst training with the Ronnies and with the Branches and stuff like that. But I think if you have one, lead us out with a story you may have not told before that you think would be fun for the fans to listen to. It could be crazy, it could be, I don't know. Is there
Let's
any
talk
fights?
About Branch. No, there's too many fights to mention. Back in the 80s and 90s, we did fight at Metroflex.
I want
to
hear these stories. Give me whatever stories you want to end with.
Brian was the biggest advocate of duking it out. Because Brian's, he's 65. Yeah. He's been around D Detroit City. That's where he grew up at.
Did I die? Yeah, no way.
Bro, yes, sir.
I did not know that.
And when he opened up the gym, he was young and still full of piss and vinegar like we all were back then. There wasn't such thing as getting in trouble for fighting. It was becoming a friend with somebody after you fought him. So if you got a problem with him doing the bench or the dumbbells or whatever you said, come on outside. We'll square the cars up. And, man, I've been involved in so many of those. Just knock the fucker out or wrestle him down. Fights are over in 5 to 20 seconds anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you get out of gas and, you know, nobody. Some people knew how to fight. Some people didn't. And the ones that knew how would hold back because that's your friend, your boxing. And I think that those fights really meant a lot to the older generation. You can't stop anybody nowadays. You get a lawsuit, you get arrested. But those are good. Here's the funny story I'm going to tell you. It's about Branch and I and Jay Moore. They come down to Big J's Extreme Fitness, and we were in Branch. Branch gets way, way serious when he trains. And this is like in 99 or 98. So we just started winning some shows. Nobody really had a big name for themselves yet. And so we're in the back deadlift for him, and we're doing bent over rows. And that's something that Branch and Ronnie really capitalized on. And so I don't have the back for it at that time. Actually, I was run over by a Humvee when I was in the military, broke my back in two places and was paralyzed, broke 20 bones. So this is the comeback from all of that.
Holy shit.
That's something else. That's another story. But anyway, now that you know that, I'm trying to nurse my way through 225, and Branch is doing 315, 405. And Jay, the cut-up is, he's farting the whole time while we're doing the bent over rows. And I'm laughing. And Branch, yo, shut the fuck up. Get back to training. And so me and Jay are laughing like 10-year-old kids in the corner. He's like, pull my finger. And I pull his finger, and he farts. I'm like, pull my finger. And so this is not verbatim, but it's really damn close. And so I'm bent over, and we got the receptionist at the desk and taking people through, and the back room smells like shit because we're farting. And so I'm doing the bent over rows, and I'm literally just shitting my pants.
Oh, no way.
Oh, big time. And I just about let one go, and Branch is super pissed. Jay walks up, starts going, and literally shits his pants. He just runs down the back of his, and he's laughing the whole time while he's doing the rows, and I'm laughing so hard. And Branch's face, man, if he had a weapon, he'd have killed us all. Yeah. Y'all motherfuckers need to get serious. Then our receptionist was walking somebody in. Jay's got shit running down his pants, and he goes, this is the gym I'm going to join.
Did he say that
he
guy?
He joined it. His name was Roland Brown, funny enough.
Wow.
He was one of the professional bench pressers that used to work out at my gym, but he always brought up the stories. Hey, remember when that guy shit his pants? Yeah, Roland, I remember you were there. I was there.
That was great.
So, yeah, good story. Thanks for letting me tell it.
Big J, is there anything you want to say to the fans and the viewers? And I'm sure we're going to have you on a part two for many more stories from the Metroflex era. As men as military ones in the future, too. So is there anything you want to say to close out the episode?
Yeah, love yourself, love your family, love your maker, and treat people with kindness. There's too much shit going on in this world to be angry about anything. Keep going.
There we go. Couldn't have said it better myself. Big J, as always, a pleasure, my friend. It's great to have you here on Straight Outta Left podcast. Thanks for all you've done, serving for our country, all the lives that you've changed, and all the things that you've done for the fitness community, and even personally for me, all the kind texts you've said and conversations we've had away from cameras and all that means true to me and it means a lot. So thank you very much, my friend, for being a great friend over all these number of years. And I'm looking forward to doing some cool things with you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
lots,
an honor.
Lots more to come.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Big J Flex Lewis, Straight Outta Left, out.